Man, is God good or what? Amen? God is good. We serve an awesome, amazing, faithful God. And I'm so thankful for a God who cares about us and wants to be with us and wants to know us and wants to lead us and wants to love us. I want to introduce you this morning to Wanda. Miss Wanda, according to the people in her church and community, is one of the sweetest persons you'll ever meet. Some are convinced that the reason she's so sweet, though, is because she spent so much time in a kitchen baking her famous pies. I mean, the sugar just sort of seeped into her veins, apparently. She perhaps has several claims to fame, but again, in her community, she's the pie lady. Chess pie, pecan pie, apple pie, chocolate pie, coconut pie, several others. I mean, even just thinking about this, I've got to go get a pie this afternoon. That's all there is to it. Some of her pies, they have a meringue so tall they look like a tidal wave coming at you. And she's a master of all of these pies. Now, when she's in the kitchen, as you might imagine, it seems like all of her worries just fade away. But outside of those times, it seems like worry is a big part of her life. Now in her 70s, her worry seems to be growing for whatever reason. Will I have enough money this month? I hope my babies, my grandbabies, my great-grandbabies are safe. Oh my goodness, what was that noise here in the night? Why hasn't my daughter called me? I mean, she was supposed to call me hours ago. What will my doctor find on the next exam? How will I ever get that project done at my age? And although she hates to admit it, she would have to admit it. I worry all the time. That would be Wanda's confession this morning. I worry all the time. But you know what? We're just going to get real here for a moment. Worry and anxiety is just not something that senior citizens deal with. In fact, you look at some studies, there are some studies that tell us that actually senior citizens don't worry as much as younger people. They've actually become comfortable in their skin, finally, even if it is a little bit looser, right? They've become comfortable in who they are, and they just don't worry about it. So they got time to worry. Time's short. Worry doesn't have a certain age. We all know people in our circles, whether they're our friends, whether they're families, they are the worrier. Go ahead, you're thinking about who it is right now. Maybe they wash their hands all the time, or maybe they have irrational fears like being buried alive in a box. Maybe they're the perfectionist that always has to have everything just so-so. Maybe they feel like they're the one who's going to get the next terrible medical diagnosis. It's just around the corner. They know it's coming. In fact, they've been having a pain right here, and they know it's brain cancer. Maybe they never want you to do anything risky. And by risky, they mean like going to the mall to shop or something like that, you know. I remember my granny always telling me, y'all go to that mall, y'all gonna get robbed and all this stuff, you know. Again, maybe the worrier's not your friends, maybe it's not your family, maybe it's you. Maybe you're the one that worries all the time, and you hate to admit it because it embarrasses you. Beloved, I want to say to you this morning, you're not alone. You're not alone in your worry. You're not alone in your anxiety. In fact, it's estimated that like 40 million adults in the U.S. struggle with anxiety. 40 million struggle with anxiety. That's like almost 20% of the U.S. population. 1 in 5 people. So that means statistically speaking, there's likely 40 or so people right here at Eastwood South Campus this morning that seriously struggles, is seriously affected by worry or anxiety. Generalized anxiety, panic attacks, social anxiety, various fears and phobias with names this long that I can't even pronounce, obsessive compulsive disorders, post-traumatic stress disorders, and 2/3 of that 40 or so folks here that are likely here this morning, 2/3 of those 40 are likely women. Women are twice as likely as men to struggle with anxiety and worry issues, according to these experts. Now, the Reverend Dr. Billy Graham, he once said this. He said, historians will probably call our era the age of anxiety. And can I just say to you, he didn't say that in 2015 or 2016 or 2014. He said that in 1965. And if that was the era of anxiety, today in our post 9/11 terroristic threat and Zika and all these other diseases and all terrorism and all that, if that was the age of anxiety, we live in the age of meltdown. We live in the age of meltdown. So, we know we're not supposed to worry. We try not to worry. Sometimes, when we finally get a break from worrying, you know what we do? We worry about, why am I not worrying? What's going on? What's wrong with me? I'm not worrying. All right? The English word, our English word worry, I think this is really illustrative of what worry is all about. Our English word for worry is, it comes from Old German, the word worgen, which literally means to strangle, to constrict, and to choke. Does that sound like worry to you? I think it does. I think that exemplifies worry in those folks that I know who struggle with worry and anxiety. They feel like their life is being squeezed out of them. Corrie ten Boom, she once said, worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow. It empties today of its strength. The life and strength when we worry, when we're anxious, gets squeezed out of us. And so, beloved, worry is a major problem. It's a major problem, not only physically or emotionally or socially, it's also a problem spiritually. You see, the person who worries all the time very well may be a Christian atheist. Now, if you're new to this series, Christian atheism, I'm not saying that you aren't a Christian. I'm not saying you're not saved. A Christian atheist is someone who believes in God, maybe even is a follower of Jesus Christ, but in areas of our life, we live like God doesn't exist. We live like we're not followers of Jesus Christ. That's what a Christian atheist is. And beloved, a Christian who is persistently, habitually worrying very well may be a Christian atheist. To worry persistently, habitually is not to doubt God's existence, but it is to doubt God's power. It is to doubt God's knowledge. It is to doubt God's presence. It is to doubt God's goodness. It is to doubt God's providence, his sovereignty over creation and history. Yet some of us, we have sort of embraced our worry and anxiety like it's our friend. It's even become our personality. We say things like, that's just who I am. I'm just a worrier. That's just who I am. There once was a young boy out playing in his family's yard. And all of a sudden, he started squealing with delight and jumping up and down. My friend, daddy, come look, my friend. And so his daddy came over. Son, where's your friend? I mean, is he an invisible friend, an imaginary friend? He said, no, daddy, look. And his daddy looked just a little bit harder, and he nearly jumped out of his shoes when he saw this little rattlesnake curled up at his son's feet. And the daddy immediately grabbed his little boy out of harm's way and immediately went and got the hoe and came back and chopped the snake's head off. Many of us treat worry like it's our friend. But it's not. Worry is not our friend. Now, we would never consciously call worry our friend. We wouldn't say things like that. We know enough Bible to understand that, yet we live our lives with a different story. Other times, we might not call worry our friends, but you know what? We treat it lightly, like some benign part of human existence. We don't take serious action against it. But beloved, according to Scripture, worry and anxiety are not our friends. They are not some benign part of human existence. They are, according to Scripture, our enemies. They are our enemies. And we have to battle against them. Like that snake, we need to go work to cut its head off. So today, here's today's task. We're going to answer this question. How do I battle worry in my life? How do I battle worry in my life? Now, I want to equip you this morning to spiritually battle worry and anxiety. But let me just give one caveat here. This is important. This is very important. As I equip you for the spiritual battle here, we as human beings are very complex beings. We are a mysterious conglomeration, mixture of both body and soul, so much so it's hard to tell where one begins and where the other one ends. Okay? It's hard to tell, is this flesh or is this spirit? If you're struggling with worry and anxiety, that's one of the real cases here. That it's so hard to say, what is causing this? Is it physical or is this spiritual? So let me say this. Here's the caveat this morning. If you are struggling with worry and anxiety, there very well may be real physical reasons that you're feeling anxious and worried, okay? So if you're struggling with that, the first thing that you should do, you should go seek help from a medical doctor. Not a psychologist, not a psychiatrist, but a medical doctor. You need to get a full physical to see if there's anything medically promoting your worry, anything medically promoting your anxiety, something like an underactive thyroid. It's amazing what little glands in our body that aren't operating the way God designed them to operate can mess with our mind. And it's a physical, okay? You might be surprised what you find, okay? If any medical reasons are found, amen, work on that and see what happens. But if they get ruled out, then consult other experts. But we in our society, we live in like a pharmaceutical society, don't we? We're quick to run to a pill. I totally affirm, guys, there is a time and a place for medication. There is no shame in taking a medication. I mean, it's part of God's good grace. It's part of his common grace to human beings. But author Scott Stossel, I think he's really insightful here. He shared openly about his lifelong attempts to deal with the anguish of anxiety in this article he wrote for The Atlantic. He said from an early age, he's been what he calls a twitchy bundle of phobias, fears, and neuroses. Here's what he wrote. He said, even when not actively afflicted by acute episodes of anxiety, I'm buffeted by worry. And then he added this. He said, here's what I've tried. And here's his list. Individual psychotherapy, 3 decades of it. Family therapy, group therapy, cognitive behavioral therapy, rational emotive behavioral therapy, acceptance and commitment therapy, hypnosis, medication, role playing, interoceptive exposure therapy, in vivo exposure therapy, self-help workbooks, massage therapy, prayer, acupuncture, yoga, stoic philosophy, audio tapes I've ordered off a late night TV infomercial, and medication, he goes on. Lots of medication. Thorazine, imipramine, desipramine, chlorpheniramine, Nardil, Buspar, Prozac, Zoloft, Paxil, Wellbutrin, Effexor, Celexa, Lexapro, Cymbalta, Luvox, Trazodone, Levaquil, Infernal, Trexine, Xerac, Centrax, St. John's Wort, Zolpidem, Valium, Librium, Ativan, Xanax, Klonopin. Also, beer, wine, gin, bourbon, vodka, and scotch. And here's what he said in the end. Here's what he said he found out worked. Nothing. Nothing in his experience worked. But you know what? There is one thing I didn't see on his list. I didn't see the Bible anywhere. I didn't see the Bible anywhere in Scott's list. Now, the Bible does not have the answer to everything because it doesn't address everything. Amen? But here's the next amen. Y'all get ready for this. What it does address, it does have the answer to. Amen, church? Amen. And the Bible certainly, I'm so thankful for the amen corner today. The Bible certainly addresses worry and anxiety multiple times and has provided us resources from God to battle worry and anxiety, to battle this enemy. And guys, these resources should not be ignored. We should take use of these. We would be foolish to not use the Word of God in these instances. And so Philippians chapter 4 is where I ask you to turn to this morning. Here in Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 through 7, particularly shows us some resources surrounding worry and anxiety. So let's look at what the Bible has to say here. Philippians 4, 4 through 7 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." Again, I'll say rejoice. "Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Guys, I want you to see just especially here in verse 6. Look here in verse 6. "Do not be anxious about anything." And you say, "Preacher, how? How, Ben? How do I battle anxiety and worry?" Well, let's look at the text. First, to battle worry in your life, you need to refocus worry into rejoicing. Refocus worry into rejoicing. You see, the worry that you're, the energy you're spending worrying, it needs to be given to rejoicing. Look at verse 4. "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice." Now, this isn't just some, "Don't worry, be happy." It's not one of those instances, right? It's not some of that, just ignore your problems. This is real rejoicing for a real reason. And what's the reason behind this? Is that God is in the midst of this, right? Perhaps one of the reasons that you're worrying is that you've got your eyes fixed on your problem. And when we get our eyes fixed on our problem, we get tunnel vision, don't we? We can't see anything but our problem, and everything gets out of perspective. The problem begins to look too big to overcome, and we forget that God is working in our problem. And so what do we need to do? Friends, we need to refocus. Get your eyes off your problem and fix them on the Lord. Yes, you have problems. I'm not saying ignore your problems, act like your problems don't exist. I'm saying look at your problems through the prism of the Lord. Look at your problems through the prism of the Lord. He's working in your life. When you look at your problem through the prism of the Lord, then problems become opportunities for God to show how good He is. Amen? Do you see your problems that way? Do you see your problems as opportunities for God to show how amazing He is? Oh, Lord, this is a mess. I can't wait to see what you do here to show the world and me how awesome you are. We need to focus on what God can do. And when we do that, is there not reason to rejoice? Absolutely there is. But preacher, it's so hard. It's so hard to refocus and to focus on God instead of our problems. But did you know the scripture said this? The scripture said, "For God gave us a spirit not of fear, worry, anxiety, but of power and love and self-control." You know what that means? Worry, spiritually speaking, is a choice. That's what that means. If we've been given not a spirit of fear, but a spirit again of power, love, and self-control, worry is a choice. God has given you his spirit to empower you to rejoice instead of worrying. So when worry creeps up and you begin to focus on your problems, you have to make it a conscious choice to focus on something worthy of your rejoicing. Focus on something worthy of your rejoicing. Philippians 4:8, just a few verses. This isn't in our text, although we could have went on here as well. Tells us, what are we to focus on? Finally, brothers, whatever's true, whatever's honorable, whatever's just, whatever's pure, whatever's lovely, whatever's commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think on these things. What he's saying here, it doesn't matter what you focus on. Find something good in the Lord and say, I'm going to focus on that instead of this problem. It doesn't matter. He said, if there's anything, you pick it. Find the good things in your life that God is doing and focus on. Even if you say, well, there is nothing in my life going well, Ben, then you have God at least, who is always good that you can focus on. Refocus your vision. Matthew 6, we know this passage well, 25 through 34. This could have been our passage this morning to preach from. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life. This is Jesus speaking. What you'll eat or what you'll drink, nor about your body. What you'll put on, is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is today alive and tomorrow thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? Oh, you of little faith. Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Jesus, in summary here, is saying, focus, again, focus on God's provision. Focus on God's care for you. Focus on God's faithfulness. Praise the Lord. Amen? He is worthy to be praised. So refocus your worry into rejoicing. Second this morning, to battle worry in your life, you need to replace forcefulness with gentleness and trust. Replace forcefulness with gentleness and trust. Craig Rochelle, he said this. He said, worry is a control issue. People are often obsessed with trying to control their circumstances. Billy Graham, he said, anxiety is the natural result when our hopes are centered in anything short of God and his will for us. You see, when things get out of our control, and we're all control freaks, let's just be honest. We're all control freaks. When things get out of our control and they don't go our way, what do? We work overtime to try to force our will into the situation. We try to force a square peg in a round hole. But look at Philippians 4:5. The first part of it here says, let your reasonableness be known to everyone. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. Now, the Greek word here, reasonableness, is epikeis. All right? So other translations, here's how they translate this word. The ESV says reasonableness, but other translations like The NASB says gentle spirit. Other ones say graciousness. Other ones even say moderation. So guys, what it's saying here is that it's a spirit of meekness. A spirit of meekness. A spirit of trusting the Lord instead of forcing your will and trusting in yourself. That's what we're to aim at. Matthew 5:5, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. It doesn't happen by force. It doesn't happen by force. One of the most forceful, one of the most ruthless kings in history of the ancient world was a king by the name of Mithridates. Mithridates of Persia. It was around the first century BC, and he tried to control everything. He was a worrier. He tried to control everything. One of the greatest fears that ancient kings had was being poisoned. And so they would actually get a slave when food or drink would come to the king, and they'd say, slave, drink my drink and make sure you don't die, okay? I don't know how you get that job. I don't want that job, okay? But you got to, the slave had to come and eat and drink to make sure there was nothing in there that would make the king die. Well, Mithridates, he was such a rebellious king against the Roman Empire at that time. He was convinced that Rome was going to try to assassinate him. And most likely they were going to do it the way that a lot of kings were assassinated in that time, and that is simply to poison him. And so he took, in his paranoia, in his anxiety, he took it a step further. Instead of just letting his slaves taste his food and drink, he began obsessively to try to find an antidote to any poison. He invented many various anti-poison potions. And you know what he did? He would go and he would literally go and poison prisoners and then test these antidotes on the prisoners to see if they would live after being given that poison, after being poisoned. And the cocktail that he finally came up with, it involved 41 ingredients, many of them very exotic, like, for example, diced viper's flesh. That was one of the ingredients of this antidote here. And as you can imagine, it tasted awful. But Mithridates drank some of this stuff every day to ensure that he was unpoisonable. He was in control. He was going to be unpoisonable. And for many years it worked for him. I don't know if there were any attempts on his life, but he was never poisoned. He eliminated rivals along the way. But unfortunately for Mithridates, no one can cover everything. Amen? You can't cover it all. You can't do it. You can try to be in control of everything. But eventually, Mithridates was overthrown, not by Rome, but by his son. And when Mithridates was holed up in a tower, the king, ironically, tried to kill himself by poisoning himself. I mean, go figure. And as you might expect, he couldn't do it. His antidote had worked. And so finally, sadly, weirdly, he simply had one of his guards stab him to death. Now, beloved, what's the point of all that? Here's the point. Try as you might, you cannot control everything. You can try to safeguard and put hedges of protection and controls and boundaries and all these things everywhere you can. But in the end, terrible things come about as we try to force our will on those around us. James 4:1-3 says, what causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and you do not have, so you murder, and you covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you don't ask, and you ask because you don't receive, because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. James 4 is describing a person who tries to force their will. But we, instead, we don't have to force anything. Instead, we're to trust the Lord. We're to let our gentleness be proof that we're trusting in the Lord. Third, to battle worry in your life, you need to recognize the Lord's presence. Recognize the Lord's presence. Finishing up Philippians 4, verse 5, it says, the Lord is at hand. Say that with me this morning. The Lord is at hand. Beloved, that means the Lord is with you. That's what that means. He's protecting you, safeguarding you, watching over you. I grew up with my granny right next door, and you've heard me talk about her before. But I was kind of a chicken. My brother got all the bravery. I got all the good looks. But I was always scared at nighttime at dark to go down to my granny's house. And my dad, he'd just make it worse usually. But for me, just I would call ahead and say, Granny, I'm coming. Can you come stand outside and watch for me? And she didn't have to walk with me. I just had to simply see her. I just had to know that she was there waiting for me on the other side, right? As I got down the street. And we're talking about a football field maybe here. I mean, it's not that far. It's not like I'm walking through a dark woods, okay, with wolves around, okay? But nevertheless, seeing her, her presence at the end, it quieted my anxiety, guys. But listen, the truth of the matter is that God was with me. I didn't need her there at the end. God was with me. If I had only known Philippians 4, 5 when I was that age, the Lord is at hand. Beloved, in those moments where anxiety and worry, they begin to bubble up, recognize the Lord's presence. God is with you. He's with you. There's no reason to worry. Psalm 46, verse 1, 2, and 3 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. We don't have to be afraid because God is with us. Recognize the Lord's presence. And then finally, as you spiritually battle worry and anxiety in your life, request God to meet your worry. Request God to meet your worry. Look at verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Guys, here's the deal. Now, we just write this down. If you're taking notes today, write this down. Worry is the alarm calling us to pray. I don't know about you. I love my iPhone. I can set alarms and do all these things to remind me to do everything in the world. But here's one thing you can note. When worry begins to creep up, that is a reminder to hit your knees. Worry is the alarm calling us to pray. And Jesus taught us to pray like this, didn't he? Think about the Lord's Prayer, the model prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we've forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. These are all worries and anxieties that we all have, don't we? Father, I need food. I need house. I need clothing. Father, I'm a sinner and I've hurt people and I've got relationships that are in shambles. Father, I know there is evil in the world. Protect me. And so when we come, we request God to meet our worry. But again, guys, let me just say this as we think about prayer. We talked about prayer here last week. Prayer's not a reason for inaction. It's not like, well, I'm just going to pray and not act. We can't be that way, okay? Again, prayer in one sense is action. But when we pray, we still must act. Are you worried about finding a job? Then pray. And go fill out an application, okay? I mean, it's that simple. You put prayer into action. You put faith into action. Are you worried about your children? Then pray. Man, back when I was a youth pastor, I had this one family in particular just said, well, all we can do is pray. Talking about their son who is rebellious. No, you can't. You can whoop his hind end. And you can ground him. And you can do all sorts of other stuff. There are measures you have not yet taken besides prayer. Yes, pray. Let's pray for him right now. Let's pray. But here's a belt. Are you worried about your health? Then pray. But also act, man. Go see that doctor. Quit putting that off. get on a better diet, exercise, sleep better, get rid of some of that stress. But in all these things, guys, there's only so much you and I can do. And that's where worry really begins to creep in. There's only so much you can control. Therefore, do all you can. By the grace of God, the whole time doing by the grace of God, but then trust God with what you cannot accomplish yourself. Request God to meet your worries. You know, Casting Crowns has written a lot of good songs, but one of the songs I like in particular is that song, Already There. Y'all know that song, Already There? I'm not going to sing it for you this morning, but it's a great song, and the first verse starts off talking about all the worries and cares in the world and how it just all is confusing, but then the chorus says this, when I'm lost in the mystery, to you my future is a memory because you're already there. Standing there at the end of my life, waiting on the other side, you're already there. You're already there. Beloved, request God to meet your worry, but know before you even ask God to meet that worry, He's already there in the future. He's already there behind the scenes right now, past, present, and future, taking care of what worries you, if you'll only ask Him. And so we battle worry by refocusing our worry into rejoicing, by replacing forcefulness with gentleness and trust, by recognizing the Lord's presence, and finally by requesting God to meet our worry. And when we do this, what's the result? Final verse, and we're done. Philippians 4:7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The peace of God becomes the shield, deflecting the flaming darts of worry and anxiety, protecting you and your heart and your mind. Here's my final prayer this morning. May worry be worried because the peace of God stands guard over your life.